The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, so we have a guest in studio, folks. Let's talk to the Pharmacy Board President, Mr. Ricardo Mohammed. So we say good afternoon to you and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Mr. Ricardo, Mr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon.
Yeah, me and you good. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so there's a pleasure to be here this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're talking today, among some other things I'll ask you, but the main topic will be the import and sale of weight loss drugs, some of the pros and cons.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So within the pharmaceutical sector, the Ministry of Health through the Chemistry, Food and Drugs Division would normally approve pharmaceuticals, whether it's OTC, whether it's what we call third schedule. Those are the drugs that you will tend to have a prescription to get those drugs from the dispensary. And everything that has to be sold in Trinidad and Tobago should be registered by our regulatory authority, which is the Chemistry, Food and Drugs. So Pharmacy Board itself does not have a role to play with the registration process of pharmaceuticals. However, we still monitor and we still try to ensure that from the retail side of things through pharmacies, deemed what we call safe and appropriate for human consumption with regards to the regulatory processes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So in terms of these, weight loss drugs, and they're all different types of drugs. Of course, I will want to ask you, I know, some other questions. Sure. But these weight loss drugs, when they come to Trinidad and Tobago, you say are they tested here or are they already been tried and tested to be approved to put on our shelves?
Right. So internationally, manufacturing companies are required to do specific testing. They do what you call trials. And based on the trials, they determine results. And these results tell you if the drug is safe, how the drug could be used, what dosages, what quantities. And on top of that, it also highlights side effects, side effect profiles. Now, all medications have side effects. All medication have benefits. So depending on the number of side effects versus benefits, decisions are made at the different food and drug levels. For example, the FDA or the regulatory authorities in the different countries in the UK before a drug could actually be sold for human consumption.
And like you said, the generic drugs, I mean, sometimes we have a lot of them. If you can't get the real thing, for example, if you can't get Flamar X, they will give you a generic this and a generic that. And what are your thoughts on all these different generic drugs? Are they, you know, safe to take? A lot of people like to know that.
Yes, of course. So what is a generic drug is very important. You see, there's a lot of misconception of what you would determine what is a generic drug versus counterfeit drugs. And I think there is a little mix-up when these things are discussed. A generic drug is a drug that would carry what we will call bioequivalence, meaning that the drug has the same active ingredient and together compiled with the other ingredients would give you the same rate of absorption, distribution, metabolism, and excretion. So in essence, what happens is that when the brand name company makes a drug, it tends to be a little more expensive because a lot of money would have gone into research and design and marketing before the drug hits the market. Now, after the drug spends a little time on the market, the patent expires, and generic companies are now allowed to produce generic drugs, which are a bioequivalent drug that is exactly more or less the same to give you the same therapeutic efficacy. Now, there's a big difference when you're dealing with counterfeit drugs. Now, in counterfeit drugs, it's somebody in some backyard somewhere putting together something that resembles the drug, that looks like the drug, but it contains nothing medicinally that is beneficial to the patient. So this is why we have regulatory authorities whereby when drugs are imported into the country, these things are reviewed. Now, what is important to note, these drugs usually come through the port of entry into the country, sometimes smuggling by boat or etc., or if it comes via air. And these things, we have to be very careful how they cross our borders and how they are allowed to enter into the country. But notwithstanding that, we must clear that distinction between generic drugs and what we call counterfeit drugs. And I can tell you that Trinidad and Tobago there is maybe a very few or very small number of counterfeit drugs that may enter into the market, and that is something that is an ongoing process with investigations and inspections that we try to curb.
All right, because we've seen these videos on YouTube and stuff about some of the drugs coming out from, I think it's India, right? Those have been the, some counterfeit drugs, so to speak.
Right. So globally, it's a higher incidence of counterfeit drugs in the global market. We are not saying no that it may not happen here in Trinidad, because we have to continue as a governing body to inspect pharmacies and check on these things, so that if we do see something that is not supposed to be on the shelves or whatnot, these things are usually reported to the Chemistry, Food and Drug Division, where they take action on these illegal drugs. Now, bear in mind, you can have a perfectly good pharmaceutical drug that is not registered for sale entering the country, and that is not counterfeit, but it is still deemed illegal because it is not registered for sale. Within recent times, and because we're going into Carnival, a lot of people have been trying to access certain weight loss drugs that we are seeing being advertised by beauty saloons and spas and hairdressing saloons and gyms of a very popular weight loss drug that is highly advertised right now. And we can safely tell you from the pharmacy board perspective, these drugs are not supposed to be sold at these establishments, because there are many different guidelines in which a pharmacist would take care of a drug. So taking care of a drug is not a matter of just bringing it into the pharmacy and selling it. It must be stored under regulated temperatures. The packaging must be of a good standard. The distributor or the person who is bringing in the pharmaceutical must have certain safety and storage practices, and all these things are important before it reaches the patient.
All right. And in terms of in terms of being regulatory, or does the pharmaceutical board have anybody that goes around and inspects, and does any a secret shop or any investigation into some of these drugs that should not be sold in the in these pharmacies?
Well, that's a very good question. So recently I took office as pharmacy board president in April of 2024. And prior to that, there have been, put it this way, since 2024, since we took office, we have been putting things in place to continue the investigation processes. The pharmacy board has a team of inspectors, and we are now increasing our team of inspectors to go out there to do regular visits to pharmacies to ensure that we prevent or circumvent any
good day. So you got cut off there. Hello? Hello? Oh, boy.
Different arm.
Yeah, Mr. Mohammed, you got cut off there for a little bit. We're still not hearing you. Mr. Mohammed. Probably has him some internet problems there. Wait till he comes back. Oh, he's still talking.
So the inspectors are going out there. I can tell you that pharmacy board has been increasing the number of visits and the number of inspections that we are currently doing. If we do find something, depending if it's within the realm of the pharmacy board to treat with it, we treat with it. If it's something that requires the attention of the Chemistry, Food and Drugs Department or the Drug Inspectorate, we would then send correspondence to those departments, and they will then in turn send their inspectors out there to investigate.
All right, so there's a drug, that's in the news today, the Ozempic. That the ministry is coming out and saying that there's no bureaucratic red tape in preventing the approval of Ozempic. I don't know what Ozempic is actually for, but could you explain if you know about this?
Sure. So the drug is called semaglutide. As I said earlier, that all drugs are approved for sale for different reasons. Ozempic, in this case, is a drug that has been approved for diabetic patients, and it has been seen that in these patients, they would have had significant weight loss. So when they do further research, they realize, okay, so this drug works on some receptors in the brain, and that those receptors tell the body that, you know, you're feeling more full there, you're full, so you don't need to, you know, to eat in this manner. But in the same way, all pharmaceuticals also have side effects. So there are positives and there are negatives. Now, the side effects associated with some of these things as pancreatitis and stomach disorders and so on. And those things would vary from patient to patient and from country to country. And what we are recognizing now is that if someone has accessed these pharmaceuticals, there are usually a local distributor will tend to bring it in. But you have to look at the broader picture in terms of why wasn't it registered? Why are those who are trying to bring it into the country not getting it registered? So there are differences in the processes. And then when you look from a macro standpoint, where big companies are concerned, they will look at Trinidad as being a smaller country. And with the profitability behind the drug, be worth its while to bring it into the country. In some cases, if that is the situation, you would tend to find that there are smaller importers that will try to bring the pharmaceutical into the country. And they will apply now to chemistry, food and drugs to get this process done. Now, in the past, and we know this, which is fact, is that it takes an average of 180 days for chemistry, food and drug to give a notification as to if they require more information on the drug or if they are going to approve it. And the process takes a little bit of time. Now, this is something that has not been happening now. There is a process, but in general, the process has been too slow. And over the years, I think the ministry may not have really dealt with the situation properly enough to get these things registered on a timely manner. Yes, they may try. I am hearing that they have increased some staff and whatnot, but still, when you're dealing with international traders and you're dealing with big companies, if you have to tell a company abroad that it's taking you 180 days just to get feedback as to if you're going to get the drug approved or not, they will look at this country and laugh and say, well, why are we taking 180 days to give feedback on an application for a drug, especially when you would submit stuff? I mean, there are processes in between. You have to do some testing and whatnot, but these things need to be updated, regulated properly. We need to have proper labs in the country to work on these testing facilities and so on. As it is right now in Trinidad and Tobago, all of our stuff is sent abroad. I know that they're currently working on setting up a lab in Trinidad, but again, we have no real information and data as to the timelines or when it's going to be completed or where it's going to be located at this current point in time.
All right, folks, once again, we're talking to Mr. Mohammed here of the Pharmaceutical Association. Any of your questions, folks, feel free to message me at 306-1065. We also try to take some calls at 625-2257 at 627-3223. Now, a lot of the times, people wanting drugs for their medication, especially in the hospital, a lot of complaints where you can't get drugs in the hospital. What about in terms of some serious drugs, even some drugs for people dealing with cancer and stuff? And then they will have to go probably privately to get them, and they may be, you know, as expensive. Is there a reason why we can't get drugs sometimes at the hospital?
Well, everything depends on what you call a tendering process. And there's something called the drugs committee, right? These committees are supposed to meet, and they're supposed to evaluate the consumption of pharmaceuticals in the country, what quantities are needed to be purchased, and so on. Now, bear in mind, after the pandemic in 2019-2020 in Trinidad and Tobago, and globally, there are shortages of some pharmaceuticals globally. One of them, for example, is insulin. At the end of the day, whoever is entrusted with these committees have to ensure that they do the job and they do the work that is necessary to ensure that we have what we call a continuous flow and supply of pharmaceuticals in the country. And I think many times these processes they need to be revamped, and they need to look at the way in which we evaluate the pharmaceuticals that are being imported into the country. At the end of the day, if the regulatory authority helps to open the market in the sense that smaller importers could bring in some of these pharmaceuticals to alleviate the shortages. For a small country, we have to be very mindful of how regulated do we need to be as a two. I do agree that we must be regulated for safety for the patient, but there are some things that, for example, over-the-counter items and products or vitamins or minerals that may not necessarily need to have a stringent regulatory process, the same as what we will consider a third schedule drug or maybe a cancer drug or an antibiotic, as the case may be. So it is important to regulate. It is important to understand that pharmaceuticals need to go through a stringent process to ensure that there is what you call good manufacturing practices and so on. And there are but the thing is, we need to also ensure that when importers or pharmacist decides to import a pharmaceutical into the country, the process of doing so must be revisited, and there must be improvements in the entire system. So there are, I would probably say, a little stymieing of the processes at certain points in time. We do see, however, some of the bigger companies. And when we speak to our small distributors, and we recognize how fast sometimes the bigger companies may get stuff registered onto the market, and then sometimes we have these smaller companies taking almost a year to get something registered. So we have to really work in tandem. The pharmacy board is quite willing to lend advice, to work with all the regulatory authorities to ensure that we can improve on these processes so that we get a better range of pharmaceuticals that's available in this country, and so that we can treat with different illnesses and also ensure that we look after the public medical management in terms of providing medicines in the most up-to-date fashion that we can to prevent chronic diseases from getting out of control and so on.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple of questions coming in here. Ask Mr. Mohammed, what can his organization do to discourage the suitcase trade? We have many drugs here that come from India and not registered in our market. Are we inspecting the pharmacies? Which is something I just asked Leon to.
Right. So what are we doing to discourage illicit trade? The suitcase trade, really and truly, if we improve the processes of registering the pharmaceuticals in this country, the first thing that will do is greatly reduce the need for illicit trade, which means that any proper pharmaceutical importer or any registered pharmaceutical importer who is interested in importing a product can do so through the correct channels rather than trying to bring it in illegally, because once the process is easy and the process is realistic in terms of assisting the importers in bringing in these what we call generic drugs or pharmaceuticals, if this process is done properly, we greatly reduce that need for the illicit trade. That's one. The second thing is legislation. Pharmaceutical board does not have the legislation for us to regulate importers, wholesalers, or distributors. The Pharmacy Board Act has never been upgraded with regards to wholesalers, distributors since 1962. And we have had many governments, we have had many ministers of health, we have had many committees over years. And the legislative process is important. And this current board will be working to be drafting proposals to take to the government the government of the tomorrow to determine how we can improve this, because if the board is able to regulate and the wholesalers, distributors issue licenses to ensure that they engage in proper practice, it will greatly reduce the illicit trade of pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. Another question here, are medicines still price controlled?
medicines on an average within the pharmaceutical sector may range from a markup between 25 to 35% throughout Trinidad and Tobago as a general markup. So pharmacies in general throughout the country would work with an average markup between 25 to 35%, in some cases 20%. We must look at the monopolizing of the industry and preventing the industry from being monopolized in order to regulate the price controls. So we have to look at, if there are many importers and we increase the competition in which pharmaceuticals are brought into the country, that is one way of ensuring that price stays down. Also, with engaging the Fair Trade Commission, because if something is not reported to us, we cannot report it to them. And if that there is no reporting, there's nothing much a Fair Trade Commission can do. However, we must be mindful that underselling of items, sometimes in Trinidad Tobago, we do have situations where certain places may sell drugs retail at the same price as what some other pharmacies would purchase at wholesale. So there are things that are happening in the market that we are monitoring. We are trying to ensure that we can get the best fair trade practice to keep the prices down. And I think if with improving the registering of drugs and expanding on the amount of importers who can bring in properly registered drugs to create that competition within the wholesale market, it will greatly reduce the price of pharmaceuticals for this country.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Mr. Mohammed, well, I mean, thank you for anything further you would like to leave us with in terms of, pharmaceuticals and pharmacies. What are some of the things that people should look out for? Is there anything on labels people should look out for when going for their drugs off the hand? I know you spoke about the counterfeit and the, generic drugs, but anything people should look out for when going for their things at the pharmacy?
Sure. So it is important to understand that when you go to a pharmacy, pharmacists must have a license in order to operate a pharmacy, right? And pharmacists are given a license and a practicing certificate, which must be clearly displayed so that the patient or the consumer at that establishment could just take a quick look and they will see that the license or the practicing certificate is well displayed at the dispensary, so that it can be easily visible to the customer or the patient. Now, if you go to a pharmacy and you ask to see your pharmacist and you recognize that, you're not seeing a license or you're not seeing a practicing certificate, which is supposed to be clearly displayed on the wall of the pharmacy, you must ask a question, well, what's really happening here? Because you must have a license to operate. So that is important. Secondly, what is the most important thing as well is that it is very difficult for the average consumer to identify what you would call a fake drug or a counterfeit drug. Please ensure that when you purchase your pharmaceuticals from a dispensary, or your pharmacist is the one that will be doing your dispensing. Usually the pharmacist is assisted by his assistant or dispensary tech in putting together the medication so that the pharmacist can now do the counseling aspect and advise you on how to take it and why to take it and what not to take with it, as the case may be. Also, I am going to advise the public to be very careful when you're purchasing stuff from shops and parlors. There is something called an OTC license, which only allows shops and parlors to sell certain over-the-counter products, and what is deemed over-the-counter in pharmacies is not over-the-counter in some of these establishments. Point in class, and I would use one particular example. Products that contain antihistamines are not allowed to be sold in shops and parlors, yet we may see multi-symptom preparations of some products that may contain an antihistamine, and these are not supposed to be sold in shops and parlors. So there will be an investigation team going around from the Chemistry, Food and Drugs, from what I understand, and checking on these things and making sure that these shops and parlors are not carrying that. Even so, supermarkets as well. we are finding supermarkets that are selling items that should only be sold in pharmacies. Now, in many instances...
Now, there's some supermarkets that have a kind of subsidiary pharmacy with a pharmacist. There's one supermarket, you know, that has that.
Right, right. So there are supermarkets who have pharmacies in them, right? And those pharmacies would have gotten a license from the pharmacy board, and they would have been inspected, and they have been regulated on what they can do. But those products can only be sold from the realm of the pharmacy part of the supermarket. It cannot be sold on the shelves of the supermarket. Mm. So usually supermarkets that have a, what we'll call an integrated pharmacy inside of it, usually would not be granted a OTC license, because all these things, preparations, will be found within the pharmacy. But we still are finding supermarkets without pharmacies in it who may have applied for an OTC license. And then we are seeing now stuff that are not on that second schedule listing being sold. There are only 37 items on the second schedule listings that can be sold on an OTC license. And we are now observing that because there was a little lapse in previous years with inspections and so on, this has gotten a little out of control. And there are things that are being sold in pharmacies that are being sold in supermarkets that are not supposed to be sold when it comes to pharmaceuticals. So we advise the public, be very careful. Access your pharmaceuticals at pharmacies. You can always request your medications from your pharmacist, and the Pharmacy Board of Trinidad and Tobago. You can send us an email at boardpharmacytt@gmail.com. I'll repeat it, boardpharmacytt@gmail.com. If you have any concerns, you have questions, you see something happening at a pharmacy that's not supposed to be happening, you can feel free to send us an email and the board will look into it.
Okay. Nice. Well, somebody said, what are the laws for advertising drugs?
Okay. So, third schedule drugs, which are drugs that are usually found in your dispensary, is not allowed to be advertised. Neither the price, neither discounts. Within recent times, I've been noticing on the different apps that we will be seeing some pharmacies advertising. We will contact them and inform them that it is against the law to do so. But we are also seeing shops and certain places popping up, calling themselves health stores, that they may be unaware that the item that they are advertising is actually classified as a pharmaceutical that requires you to have a license to be sold. It is to be noted that all third schedule items, which are dispensary-type drugs, they are not allowed to be advertised with prices and discounts in whatever form or fashion, whether in a social media platform or in an app. These things cannot be advertised.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the information there, Mr. Mohammed, and we hope everything works out for the better of us all.
Right? Thank you very much for having me this afternoon.
All right. Thank you. Of course, folks, interviews here, you know what I mean, how we do it on Freedom 106.5 FM.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.